to just challenge you and hopefully change you. How many of you came this morning knowing or hoping anyway that you could leave changed?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, the Word of God can do that, but only if you heed what you hear. Oh, come on. You missed a good place to say amen. The Word of God will do that for you, but you have to heed what you hear.
Amen.
You just can't hear a bunch of stuff every week and never do any of it.
Right.
Amen? Yeah, well, sure. Those people walk on and they say, well, God doesn't do that for me. No, well, come on. Of course he doesn't. Hello? You have to heed what you hear. Okay. I've had people ask me, okay, why hasn't God moved in my life? After all, he said that if I ask anything according to his name, you know, that he will answer. And then I usually have this pat answer that I come back with. Have you prayed? Have you prayed and asked God why this scripture doesn't seem to work in your life? And then the answer that comes my way is, yeah, that's close. Pray? You have to do what the Bible tells you to do. Are you with me this morning? We have to put into practice what we hear preached. And I could stop right there, and if I had a mic other than this, I could drop the mic, all right? Because I think you have got and I have got so many things that we have left to be done that we could do for Jesus, that he wants us to do for ourselves, for him, that will foster our relationship with him. Should I drop the mic? No, because then we'd have to buy another one. Anyways, would you stand with me this morning as we declare what we believe about God's Word? Just grab your Bibles in your hand, raise them up towards heaven, and repeat this with me. Are you ready? All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If you remember last week, we started what I didn't know was going to be a series, but what is it's going to end up being a series. And it was entitled Bitten by the Bug. Say, Bitten by the Bug. You know, all right, I'm going to just be kind of vulnerable here for a minute. You know, sometimes pastors think this. Or they think that they have preached one of the best messages that they have ever preached, you know, and then we get happy, right? I'm in a sermon that really rang the bell, right? Or that really went well, and they feel, or I felt, like it had the potential to really change someone's life. And maybe change it even if they didn't know that they needed it, okay? Well, you know what? Last week for me was one of those sermons, okay? And I know there are probably a few of you who eat, breathe, and sleep church to the degree that I do. But I really think that you should either get the CD or you should listen to the message online, because God, the Holy Spirit, gave me something that I believe, say I believe, could be potentially life-changing for some of you. So humor me, if you will, okay? Humor me if you weren't here, or if you were here, but somehow, and I don't know how this happens, but maybe you fell asleep. That's not funny. No. Sometimes I think I'm not doing my job if I don't put a couple people to sleep. One gentleman used to go here, he could lock his neck and just go and sleep the whole time. Never bob his head, nothing. But I knew he was asleep because I rode motorcycle with him and I would ask him things that I said. Yeah. Anyway. All right, just humor me. The title of the message this week that is part two of the series, Are You Bitten by the Bug, is the battle of bitterness, okay? Say the battle of bitterness. Let me tell you this morning, if you don't already know, okay? The bite of the the bite of the bug and the battle of bitterness are two very basic tools that the enemy loves to use. And he loves to use them because if he can use them, if he can get you offended and then get you into the battle of bitterness, you lose your power, okay? You absolutely lose your power. And, you know, you might ask me, how does being offended or how does being bitter cause the church to lose its power? All right, then, well, just listen to me this morning, okay? Listen to me. And I say this out of experience, and you can shake your head or you can agree, but I know you, okay? To be honest this morning, if we are full of offense towards other people, we aren't going to pray for them. Come on, people. We aren't going to pray for them. And a church that doesn't pray is a church that has no power. Oh, you missed an even better place to say amen. All right? Say amen. Because our power comes from God, all right, who empowers us and our connection to Him. And if we're prayerless, I'm sorry, we're powerless. That's the way it is. Are you with me this morning? It plays right into the enemy's hand. You can't carry bitterness and still love the brotherhood. Amen? Amen. And if we don't pray, pow. Say pow. Pow. Our power is gone. But why would the enemy, want to use those tools to destroy us? What makes them weapons, what makes those weapons so preferable to him? Because of the church, and by the church I mean you and I as individuals, okay? If we carry offenses and if we are full of bitterness against each other, then it's impossible for us to walk together. Amen? You remember the scripture, Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And Jesus said in Matthew 18, 19, and 20, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So from what I can see, agreement is important. Amen? It's important, and we have to be in agreement. Would you hold on just with me just for a minute? All right, and just pray, just bow your head. Do you remember the story of the Tower of Babel, all right, in Genesis 11, 5 through 8? And just in case you don't remember it, I'm going to refresh your memory, and I'm going to read it to you just a minute, although I'm sure that probably most of you are familiar with the passage. Verse 5 starts out like this. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there, confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. How many of you know that God's desire is to have us in unity? Maybe you don't understand what unity means. Maybe you don't really grasp. It doesn't mean that we all believe exactly the same thing. It means that we're all going in the same direction. Are you with me? We might not all agree exactly on certain doctrines, on certain dogma, on certain theology. Theology is based on theory, right? So we might not all agree, but we have to agree on some of the basics. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Praise God. He came and he died for our sins. Praise God. And because of that, I can be free today. Because of that, I can walk free today. Because of that, you can walk free today. You may find yourself in a bondage today. You may find yourself in the place where you've tried to, I don't know, quit smoking. Maybe you tried to quit eating. Maybe you've tried to quit gossiping. There's this one word that really speaks to that, and that's yield. It's not I can't. I hear that so much out of God's people. I can't. I can't quit this. I can't stop this. I can't get this out of my life. Yes, you can. Because if you will yield to the power of Jesus Christ inside of you, it will go. It will go. And you can say, well, I haven't had that experience. But have you really yielded? Have you really given it up to him? One of the things I think that we forget about is what I was going to talk about, but now I'm going to talk about it in a different way. And that is the unity that's so necessary. Do you realize what the scripture just said? That nothing they propose to do would be withheld from them? Nothing. So that means if we're in unity, whatever we ask will what? Be given to us. Now, I don't think you believe that because I heard a right. I heard one right. That means that anything we ask will be given to us. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe the word of God this morning? Or do you think it's just a bunch of words written on a piece of paper that sound real good when you quote them, especially King James, but really when it comes down to it, they really aren't full of power. They are full of power. It's completely full of power. I've seen my wife when her brother tried to argue the idea that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I've seen her quote scripture at him while he was just yelling at her, and the only thing she quoted to him was scripture, and it shut him down. Amen? Nothing else could have shut him down, but it shut him down because the word of God can't be stood against. Amen? I mean, it can be. You can try to, but the word of God will always prevail. Amen. I think when it comes to unity, one of the biggest things that we have to understand and realize is that it's going to take a sacrifice on our behalf. Because I have heard that it's not always easy to get along with some people. I've only heard that. But it's true. So how can you be in unity with someone you can't get along with? Well, maybe you have to sacrifice just a little bit. Maybe you shouldn't. Every time you see the person, you shouldn't go, hi, brother. Hi, sister. Maybe you should sacrifice just a little bit and for the sake of Jesus, amen, and for the sake of him living inside of you and you being a representative of him, maybe you should sacrifice a little bit and get along. I remember one year I preached on New Year's Day, or close to New Year's Day, and the thing that I was going to do was I was going to try to be a nicer guy. You know, everybody's going to quit doing this, they're going to quit doing that. Well, I was just going to try to be a nicer guy. And that includes getting along with people. But it not only includes getting along with people while those people are present, it means talking well about them, their name being safe in your mouth when you're not with them. It means that you don't talk about people. It means you don't gossip. It means you don't do the things that make you feel good because they don't make the Holy Spirit feel good, right? Come on. Every one of us know, at least you should know, by the preaching of the word that you've heard here or by the reading in the Bible, you should know that unity is important. That there's probably nothing more important. I mean, when Jesus would actually say, you know, if you're together on this, I'll give you whatever you want. You know, you ask anything according to my will. And I don't want anything that isn't God's will, right? But we can lose our unity as quickly as just a glance, just a word. I was going to talk about bitterness today and about how it grabs a hold of you, what it does to you, how the enemy loves to get you in bitterness. Because if you're in bitterness, you can't love the brotherhood like I just had already said. And bitterness comes in by the road of offense, right? By the time you're offended, you're no longer in unity. by the time you're offended and you're beginning to get bitter, you're no longer in the place where you should be. And then just maybe things don't go quite so good for you in your life as far as a lot of things are concerned, and you can't figure out why. I like it when it gets quiet like this, but I like it when you talk to me too. Why do you think we like to talk about people so much? Come on. Why do you think we like to talk about people so much? For one thing, it's usually because it makes us seem a little better than the person we're talking about. So it's pride. Maybe it's because we think we have something really funny to say about the person. So it's pride. Maybe it's because we think we're better than that person. So it's pride. What was the original sin?
Pride.
You would think that we would know, wouldn't you? You know, you'd think that we would know, especially as a Pentecostal people. I was raised Reformed. I got nothing bad to say about the Reformed Church. Then I turned Catholic, and I'm not going to say anything bad about being Catholic. But then I got saved, and I became Pentecostal. I understood and finally knew that I could rebuke the enemy. I didn't know there was an enemy, you know? I didn't know a lot that I began to know once I began in the Pentecostal faith. And I never realized before that, because of the teaching, I would imagine, that there was some people that would actually talk about how bad they had it, and I would think it was terrible, but then I would realize that it was pride. We get that mixed up sometimes. And we talk about how bad we have, but we talk about this thing that happened to me, this thing that, you know, oh, I'm so poor. It's not humility, it's pride. Because it draws attention to who? To you. I would to God that the God's people could walk in humility and be at a place where they're so humble that they would almost be afraid to say some of the things that they say. Because the damage that they do with the things that they say, I don't want to say they're irreparable, but they are very, very hurtful. Very hurtful. And again, when people get hurt, they pull away. When people pull away, they're no longer with the brotherhood. They're just away from the brotherhood. They're not in unity. They're not together. It seems to me if we had something, or if you had anything that was so powerful as what unity is, you know, so powerful that we would strive for that with everything that we have, that we would rather take a wrong than be right. I think I read that somewhere. That we would actually not think it important that we were number one or that we were out in front or that we were better than. And I, you know, I just got to say this. No matter what, there are people that you think you are better than. There are. It's not right, but there are people that you think that you're better than. Because you know what they've done, you know what they do, and you're better than that, right? Well, I don't know, because at that point, are you really better than? You know, I had a feeling that maybe the Lord was going to, that's pretty good. The bug has a way of worming its way into your life. Oh, don't. I had a feeling the Lord was going to change what I was going to preach because I couldn't I couldn't write it all week. I wrote it Saturday morning. And I finished it, of course, this morning. But when the Lord begins to deal with me, I never recognized it at first. I'm so spiritual, man. You're so blessed. I don't recognize it, and I write a sermon, and then the Lord changes it, and then I don't preach the sermon that I have written. And all I can say is this, is that if you have a habit of speaking about people, talking about people, saying things about people that is not very nice, Hezekiah 4:1 tells you how to stop that. Stop. There's no Hezekiah, okay. What I'm trying to say, just stop. Just stop. Don't wait to get a big revelation. You know, just stop. Unity is the revelation. And some of us think it's not important, but my gosh, it is. It is so important. You know, God says this, you know, here the Bible says this, John says this. How can you love God? How can this relationship be right if this relationship isn't right? You know? And so that means that we have to strive at times to be in a right relationship with people. Sometimes that means that we have to sacrifice what we thought was a really funny thing to say, or we have to sacrifice what we were going to do, or are you with me this morning? Do you know how important it is that you pray for one another? Do you know how often that doesn't happen? Come on, you got to agree with me on that one too, okay? But it's important that we pray for each other. We've been given the weapon of prayer, okay? That we can fight against the enemy, that we can fight against sickness and disease and anything else that will come to our life. We can fight against poverty. We can fight against everything. But yet we leave that weapon of prayer on the shelf because it's, who wants to take time to do that, you know? I know you'll start Monday. 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 And you know what that means, that it just simply means that you're always going to do it and you never do. But I think the one thing that God wants you to get straight this morning before I preach this, and I'm not going to preach it today, but and that is the importance of unity. I'm going to go ahead and say this. Sometimes you don't feel like coming to church, so you don't come. But you know what? There might be somebody there that needs you that day. Come on, people. There might be somebody there that needs your encouragement that you would give them that day, and they didn't get that encouragement because you didn't go. Sometimes you have to sacrifice what you have planned. It's really easy where church is concerned. You just don't plan anything else, okay? You plan on church. But what would you walk out of here and say today? The pastor wanted to save the message for next week because then he has a week off. That's not true. What would you walk out of here and say? I've got to be more in unity with my people. What would you say on Monday? See, that's the problem. You don't say nothing on Monday because you don't remember what's preached on Sunday. And I'm not bawling you out. I'm just saying, if you want the Word of God to work for you, you have to heed what you hear. You have to heed what you hear. If you want God to come through for you, you have to have Jesus. But you know, there's this thing about having Jesus that I know it's grace and I know it's mercy, but there's this thing in your heart that says, I'm so appreciative that I'm going to respond this way. And one of those ways is you've got to let go of yourself that puts a wall between unity and you. So when you walk out of here today and you're going to go, praise God, he's really going to quit this early. Yeah, I am. Maybe. I want to encourage you. And I've felt really impressed with this kind of thing anyway, is, you know, there was one time that I said this, and I really hope this isn't true, but I had said that I could preach the same sermon every other week and nobody would know it. I just change a couple words, you know. But that might be a little bit too true. And so I encourage you, you know, and I love it. I see you guys taking notes, but you know what? You got to read those notes. You know, you took those notes for a reason. Well, I don't remember what you preached on last week. Look at your notes. Amen. Look at what you thought was important last week that you don't even think about now. I told you a number of weeks ago that when the Lord shows me something in my Bible, you know, I write in the Bible, I always put a date by it, because then if I'm coming past it again and I see, well, let's see, last July the Lord said to do this and I haven't done it by now, I do it. Amen? Because we have a tendency to get revelation and then just tuck it away. We fight pride. We fight ourself. We fight the enemy. We fight the sin that so easily besets us. But if our mind is focused on the right thing, amen. Come on. If our mind is focused on the right thing, we can get by and through all of it. I'm not preaching this because I think our church is in disunity. I not at all. Please don't ever think that. But I want you to think what you could do to promote unity instead of sit back and see if anybody is doing the unity thing right. Do you know what I mean? Well, Pastor preached on unity last week. They didn't do it right. What are you doing? What are you doing? How are you doing? Don't worry about them. God will worry about them. So, I guess it's just that. And you know, if you're a guest with us this morning, I'm much more organized than this normally. And I really, really wanted to preach this because I really, really thought it was good. But I'll preach it next week, I think. This week, what's being just hammered home in this inside of me to give to you is the need for you to be in unity. You know, you laugh at me saying, next year I just want to be a nicer guy. Is that so wrong? Biblically, is that so wrong? I think you have to be kind of nice to be in unity. Amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your heads? Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, you know each of our hearts. And that is kind of a scary thing, but you do. You know each one of our hearts. And Lord, I pray this morning, if there's something within my heart, Lord, that doesn't promote unity, I pray that you would just deal with it. Just deal with it. Take it out. Lord, I pray for every individual in this room and watching online, if there's something within their heart which isn't promoting unity, then God, I pray that you would give them the want to deal with it. And I pray more than anything, God, that we could be a church, a powerful church, a church of prayer, a church that is connected to you because we pray. God, you are a merciful, wonderful, powerful, most powerful God, the only God. And we lay our hearts before you this morning and ask you just to deal with the areas that need to be dealt with. In Jesus' name.